I don't know if you realize, but the first thing you did when you were born was cry. We came into the world crying and haven't stopped since. We cry when we are physically injured, when we feel frustrated and angry, when we experience injustice, conflict, abuse, and feel attacked. When we feel lonely and abandoned, when we encounter sickness and death. And when we turn to the Bible, interestingly, we see Jesus crying. At Lazarus's tomb, John tells us Jesus wept as he approached Jerusalem on that last occasion and saw the city. He wept over it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we hear him saying, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And on the cross, he cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" To be human is to cry. And we cry because we are in pain. We are feeling the impact of a world that is not right, a world infected with the broken effects of sin. People deal with pain in all sorts of ways. Often it can be unhealthy and destructive. A pretty common way is to drown yourself, your pain, in music. And, for example, you can go to Spotify and very quickly bring up a playlist of broken heart, sad love, depressing songs. Or some people prefer just to listen to country music. I'm sure you've heard the old dad joke. What happens when you play country music and Western music backwards? Your wife returns to you, your dog comes back to life, your youth that was stolen is found, and you get out of prison. Can I suggest a more helpful way to deal with our pain is to run to God? And interestingly, the Bible gives us a playlist of songs to help us do just that. They are called laments. And we are going to look at one of them this morning, Psalm 44. The lament songs of the Bible follow a pretty standard style. They begin with a bold celebration of who God is and what he has done. That they include a section where you are given the opportunity to pour out your pain and struggle. And they conclude with a crying out to God to do something. To sing a lament song is a bold act of faith in God. Let me read for you from Psalm 44. Let's begin verse 1. "We have heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. It was not by their sword that you won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. You are my king and my God, who decrees victories for Jacob. Through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. I put my trust in my bow, my sword. I put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God, we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. The psalmist begins by boldly celebrating God. Oh God, he begins. He addresses God as Elohim, the great eternal creator God who is above all things. When we're traveling through hard times, it's easy to forget how big our God is. Yes, Elohim, the creator eternal God, is bigger than the pain and struggle the psalmist is experiencing. This is the one who has been present in the past. The historical record declares his greatness and how he has acted on behalf of people in previous generations. Psalm 44 recounts the coming into the promised land by the Jews. And it was not their swords, it was not their technology, their science, their power that gave them victory. It was God's right hand, his arm, the light of his face. That's what did it. And why? Why? Because God loves us. He loved them. The psalmist is not simply crying out to the God of history. And we can do that too. Oh, yeah, the God of those people back there.
Oh, wow.
He is running to the one who is my king, my God. This is the God whom he knows in the here and now, the one who has acted on his behalf during his lifetime. This is the one he is trusting, the one he boasts about, the one whom he will praise forever. You see, the psalmist knows he doesn't have the capacity to resolve his situation. He is not trusting in his bow or his sword. We have an English expression, don't put all your eggs in one basket. The idea is pretty plain. Don't trust in just one thing, but have a range of different solutions to help you in your time of need. Well, the psalmist doesn't listen to that advice. He puts his eggs in just one basket. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. I've been boasting about how you look after your children. When our kids were young, we used to sing a song, "Our God is so big, there is nothing he cannot do." And that's how the psalmist begins his lament song. But in Psalm 44, we don't know exactly what is going on. Something has happened. It seems that there has been a national defeat. Things certainly aren't right. But despite the psalmist's allegiance and trust in God, his world is falling apart. Despite his firm commitment to God, his world is falling apart and it's causing him pain. Listen to how he expresses it, how he pours out his pain and struggle to God. Psalm 44, verse 9. But now you have rejected and humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies. You made us retreat before the enemy and our adversaries have plundered us. You gave us up to be devoured like sheep and have scattered us among the nations. You sold your people for a pittance, gaining nothing for their sale. You have made us a reproach to our neighbors, the scorn of derision of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations. The people shake their heads at us. I live in disgrace all day long and my face is covered with shame at the taunts of those who reproach and revile me because of the enemy who is bent on revenge. all this came upon us, though we had not forgotten you. We have not been false to your covenant. Our hearts had not turned back. Our feet had not strayed from your path. But you crushed us and made us a haunt for jackals. You covered us over with deep darkness. If we had forgotten the name of our God or spread our hands out to a foreign God, would not God have discovered it, since he knows the secrets of the heart? Yet for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. The psalmist doesn't hold back. Did you hear it? Did you feel his pain? He's angry. He's hurt. He's broken and crushed, feeling disgrace and shame. He's in this place of deep darkness. And not only is he in pain, but he's confused. He's feeling betrayed and abandoned by God. You have rejected and humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies. From his perspective, all that's happening is God's fault. He uses the personal pronoun you 8 times. You, God, are the one doing this. I just don't get it. Where are you? Why is this happening? Lament songs are not simply an opportunity to whinge, to complain. They're not simply an opportunity to express our pain and soak in its misery. That in and of itself is not necessarily helpful. Sure, and this is important, it's always healthy to get in touch with what you are feeling. Lament songs are about bringing those feelings, that pain, and talking to God about it. They give us the opportunity to come to God even when we are angry and disappointed with him and lift to him what we are feeling. And God hears the cry and takes it into himself. It's an opportunity to say, God, all this stuff is going on and I'm feeling these things inside me, but I'm going to collect them and I'm going to lift them right to you right now. Can I say that is a profound act of faith, a profound act of faith. God, I am trusting you with what I am feeling. It takes profound courage to trust someone with your feelings. You, God, are my safe place. You, God, are the one I can run to with everything, even when I'm disappointed with you. When I don't understand what's going on, when I'm angry about what is going on. And finally, having celebrated God and having poured out his pain, the psalmist comes and cries out to God to do something. The psalm continues, Psalm 44, verse 23. Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and help us. Rescue us because of your unfailing love. The psalmist runs to God, asks God, cries out to God to do something. I mean, how bold is this person? Wake up, God. As far as I'm concerned, it feels like you're asleep. Wake up. I see him as a person full of faith, an amazing faith. Rise up and help us. Rescue us because of your unfailing love. Again, where he began the psalm, he's remembering. Why would God do such a thing? Because he's our loving Heavenly Father. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are his children. And as Paul prays in Ephesians, that we might know the height, the depth, the width of God's love poured out on us in Christ Jesus. Yes, you and I who know Jesus, we are the objects of his love. To ask God boldly for help is to seek God's help while in pain. And that, my friends, is an act of confidence, an act of trust, an act of faith in the God who is above all things, the God who loves us. You see, lament songs are a journey that take us to a place of trustful rest in God, to a place of hope in Jesus. That they remind us that even though we live in a world where sin and rebellion, sickness and death, pain and sorrow exists, they do not have the last word. Jesus is alive. There is hope. And so we live in this broken world asking God to do something, to intervene. We live in this world knowing that our future is in the hands of the one who said, I will turn your mourning into dancing. I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. And yes, Lord, we see clearly the reality of our world. We grieve over the brokenness and pain, the sickness and death, the sin and rebellion. And we cry out, Lord, have mercy. In the midst of our struggle, we cry out, Lord, do something. Do something. And Father, as we cry out to you today, as we come to you, our loving Heavenly Father, we want to lift to you Sarah Koshy and Vinay and the family, Lord, as they grieve the loss of a husband and a father and a grandfather. And we thank you that you, Father, are the God of all comfort. We pray for the Johnson family, and we thank you, Lord, for the birth of Eric, their son, and we ask your blessing on him, your blessing on them as a family. Father, we ask you for one another, and in across the breadth of Southside, there have been families who have been impacted financially by what is going on at the moment. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our provider. And we simply ask that you, the God who gives us our daily bread, would touch their lives and encourage them. And Lord, we cry out to you as the one who heals, the one who raises up the sick. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to intervene in this pandemic. Thank you for the medical practitioners who are working tirelessly. Give them strength. And yes, Lord, may we, as we walk through these days, look to you, the God in whom we trust. And now, may God, our Heavenly Father, may his love and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and may the presence of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us now and forevermore. Amen.